Hello, folk. Welcome to Shift Church. My name is Tim Carter. I'm Vicar All Saints Wellington with St Catherine's Eyton. I'm kind of hosting a bit tonight. And I've got Liz with me. Say hello, Liz.
Hi, everyone. It's really nice to see you. And welcome.
We've got Lynn with us. Say hello, Lynn. Hello. That was very enthusiastic, Lynn. Oh, it's better. Smile.
Okay. New haircut.
Oh, yes.
Hey. New
haircut. I have not had a haircut. It's not quite got the lockdown insanity yet, but it's starting to
Oh, no, that was crazy. Your lockdown hairdo. Wow.
Yeah, indeed.
Immortalised on Zoom.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes. I was checking through the YouTube videos of some of our streaming stuff a little while ago, and yes, it did get quite long. I don't think I'd quite realised how... Anyway, there you go. As I said, hello, everybody. Welcome to Shift. Whether you're watching us live on Facebook or catching up on YouTube or the podcast later, it's good to have you with us. If you are live with us, do feel free. In fact, we encourage you to put comments in the comment stream. Say hello to each other. Lynn will be keeping an eye on that and saying hello, hopefully. I know we had some issues with it last week. Emmy couldn't pick everything up. So sorry about last week if you were putting things on and they weren't getting picked up. Emmy's comment stream had frozen when she was looking after them. But anyway, we'll do our best to pick them up and hope the tech works this week. If you're not with us live and you want to contribute or ask a question, you can join the Facebook group or you can email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And we'll put what you say into next week's thing, if you'd like us to, or we'll just reply to you, really. Yeah, so that's great. And yeah. Where's the week gone?
I don't know how it's Wednesday.
I know.
Because it seems
like a mad week.
Today is Sunday. I don't know.
You said you'd had a mad week too, Lynn.
Yeah, quite busy. It's quite busy.
Yeah. Have we got folk joining us? Anybody to say hello to, Lynn?
Ali says hello.
Hi, Ali.
And that's it so far. There are more people on, but...
We've got a select group tonight. That's right. They're keeping their powder dry for a little bit later.
Ah, yes, well, that's right.
That's all right. Yeah, very good. Well, we are continuing our series thinking about rebuilding this week. And last week we thought about worship at our foundations. And this week we are thinking about working together and who we can work together with to rebuild post-COVID, rebuilding our communities, rebuilding our lives. So that's going to be fun. We've got quite a lot of video material tonight because we've got Nick speaking from church on Sunday. And we've got a slightly longer spoken word piece than normal. I came across, every week I Google looking for things, and I've come across this whole YouTube channel full of poetry.
Oh, wow. What is the channel?
I can't remember. When the video comes up, I'll remember, because it's got the SIG in it. It's got a watermark in it. Anyway, they do these annual conferences where they basically have poetry recitals.
Oh, wow.
They're all Christian, lots of different topics. This one isn't quite on topic for tonight, but I thought it was really powerful. So I thought I'd share it. And if you like it, go and search out the YouTube channel and have a look at a few more. So whatever you're doing, wherever you are, take a breath. Yes, indeed. In fact, as you'll see from the beginning, you'll be encouraged to do that again. Anyway, we'll get there. Walking the dog, doing the washing up, cooking tea, whatever you're doing. You don't have to stop. Just be aware of the presence of God who is everywhere with us. And have a listen to this, because I think it's really powerful. Here we go.
All right, now do this with me. Inhale. Now exhale. Let's do it again. Inhale. Now exhale. And when you do it again, Imagine him, Elohim, breathing streams of rivers racing directly into your lungs, but you don't gasp for air. Nah, far from it. You're resuscitated from this life into eternity, and you love it. Inhale. See, if Jesus was a guitar, you'd strum it. You'd pluck it. You'd capo on the third fret because three is the beginning of all things and there's nothing like it. He's melodic, perfect pitch, no matter the octave. He's adventurous. He's a graffiti artist. He's a can of Krylon saving humanity from its destruction. He's God incarnate and he backs up his words with actions now. Exhale. And then there's us. Don't even get me started on us thinking we are the all-knowing students circumventing the syllabus. It's ridiculous to think that we can blink our way into atonement. We fall madly in love with the argumentation of the scriptures, yet we do nothing with it. Like the Stoics and the Greeks, the emperors in Crete, the elders and deacons, the pastors and priests. How many more hundreds of thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars do we have to spend on our church services before we finally get it? Before we understand that Jesus wasn't worried about lighting schemes or financial budgets. Before we understand that Jesus was on mission and not complacent. Listen, before we understand that we've been commissioned to leave our pews and saturate the neighborhood tenancy. The gospel is good news meant for the lost and not the Sunday Christian. So there I was in the middle of a laundromat, standing in the presence of God, talking to an agnostic. He was caustic at the mere mention of any religious content, and I have to admit, I didn't necessarily disagree with his argument. And although all of my theological training tells me that I should convert him, well, that's not my job nor in my power to do so. He told me he once followed Jesus, but Christianity got in the way, and the truth and the life was replaced by production lines and proper etiquette for Sundays. So I painted a picture for him. One marked by different gauge spray tips, fanning and flaring sunsets and horizons. Selfless backdrops of cityscapes align the composition to make way for the reality of redemption. I go on to tell him to imagine Christ in the center of our incarceration. He's drawing his community outward and he's given us the keys to the kingdom. And you know what? He smiled. He was thrilled because he hadn't heard the kingdom gospel in a while or ever for that matter. So church, why are we holding on to the keys so tightly? Why are we creating impossible barriers for, you know, those people from entering into his community? Do this with me. Inhale. Now exhale. See, it's invigorating, right? See, we breathe the same air as those people. We wear the same clothes as those people. We eat the same food as those people. Heck, we smoke the same cigarettes as those people. We drink the same alcohol as those people. We're addicted to the same vices as those people. We struggle the same struggle as those people because those people, they're our people. See, we are them. There is no us. There is no versus them. There's just we. And the ironic reality that baffles me is this. Although we're all guilty of sin, Christ still came into our world and he saturates us from within to breathe life for those people and for us. Do this with me. Inhale. Now breathe.
Hey, Passion for Christ Ministries, that's what it's called.
Yeah, he was very passionate. That was powerful.
P4CM, Google them on YouTube, find their YouTube channel. There's loads of really good poetry.
Yeah, I like that, what he said about why are we holding on to the key so tightly and sort of not getting out there. That's quite powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And we're going to be thinking, as I said, we're thinking about working together tonight. And it's not just working together in the church, but who can we work together with outside the church as well for kingdom stuff? I think had some echoes in there. So we're going to turn to the Bible. And Lynn is delighted with me, aren't you, Lynn?
Yes.
Why are you delighted with me, Lynn?
I think people will see in a minute.
Good luck, Lynn.
I'm I'm on top of this. I've just got the right glasses, so I shouldn't need them here. But yeah, the reading is from Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And bear with me, folks. Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Haniel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshebel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Baana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but the nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joida, son of Paseah, and Meshullam, son of Besodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Malashiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meremoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uzziel, son of Hariah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Harumnaph, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattush, son of Hashabnaiah, made repairs next to him. Malchiah, son of Harim, and Hasub, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Helohesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters.
Can we hear?
Round of applause for Lynn. That was great. Thank you.
That was really hard. Well done.
To be fair, it does go on for another 20 verses. I did only ask you to read the first 12, so we got the idea.
Yep.
There was enough there, wasn't there? Very good. Okay, Liz, what are you reading for us?
Okay, I am reading Luke 10, verses 1 to 12. And it's Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'"
Thank you. So, shall we see what Nick had to say about that? And then we can have a think about it. If you've got questions or comments about it or what Nick's saying, do put them in the stream. Email them in. We'll pick them up afterwards. Here we go.
Well, let's pray real quick. Yeah, Lord, just thank you for calling us together this morning. And thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that you'll open our ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning. And will you soften our hearts that we can be transformed and formed together by your word. Amen. Well, last week, Tim kicked off this new sermon series all about rebuilding. Because it feels like we're finally coming out of the period of lockdown. And we're now living in what people have been predicting throughout the pandemic as the new normal. Because as soon as lockdown began, it was assumed that we were going to come out of this as changed people. It's as if somehow we knew that once this pandemic was over, not that it is, but that the world was going to be different. And we were going to have to learn how to live our lives differently. And so the early stages of this new normal, I think kind of what we're in at the moment, it gives us an opportunity to cut loose of some of the things that maybe we didn't care for, maybe weren't all that helpful in the pre-pandemic life, and carry forward what we have learned to appreciate from being in lockdown. Because I, for one, and Margaret hit on this too, I'm really thankful for so many good things that emerged during most of what we call lockdown. But remember, it's not just lockdown, it was a pandemic. I mean, there's so much heartache and grief that so many have felt, and we need to recognize and pray for this. Like All Saints even has suffered a significant blow. Not necessarily because of the virus, but this has been an unusually difficult past few months for several members of our community. So maybe before we start to look ahead, we should take some time to just stop and pray and reach out to those we know who are suffering around us. So now, as we think about that Nehemiah reading, and thank you, Barbie, for reading that. That's like a nightmare reading for anyone. And who knew she spoke Hebrew perfectly? Right? but as we think about that reading, so you got to think, Israel, they would have been doing a lot of reflection as they were rebuilding for the future. Because these are people that of Israel who had grown up living as exiles. And they've finally been allowed to return home to the home of their parents and their grandparents. But the land that they were returning to was just a shell of what their parents and grandparents lived in. Because Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Their parents' homes were destroyed. And the land was occupied by foreign nations. So now that Israel was allowed to return, they begin the whole rebuilding process by restoring the wall that surrounds the city. And some of these names that we heard, were relatives to the people who had worked on that wall before. So a lot of those names were in the middle, the son of. And yeah. So working on this wall would have given these people not just a sense of belonging, but a sense of responsibility and ownership of that place. Because they were building and restoring the wall that their ancestors had worked on. They were touching and moving the same rocks that their ancestors had touched. But this project would have also created a stronger sense of community amongst themselves, because this was a massive undertaking. And it had to be done quickly. Because Jerusalem was very vulnerable at this moment. Because without walls, they could have been overtaken at any point. So we have all these names, plus many more, working together to build a wall that would secure the city. And they built that wall in 52 days. And it was a huge wall, which is just a phenomenal achievement. I mean, I'm just thinking, I've been waiting for over 5 months to have someone come and repair our fence at our house. Like times have changed, I guess. But these people who, and they weren't necessarily skilled at building walls. This wasn't their expertise. They were able to come together to pull off an amazing achievement, which allowed them to rebuild the rest of the city and the temple. Now, if we jump forward, as we think about our New Testament reading, we see that Jesus chose and had many followers that he would send out together on mission to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. And before Jesus got to that point, he inaugurated his own ministry by reading a passage from Isaiah, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And this was the point where Jesus' ministry began. Because to Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of God means the elevation of the poor. The poor will be lifted up and empowered, and the structures that oppress the poor and support the wealthy will be torn down. That day is coming. In fact, it's already come. And so much of Jesus' ministry was to care for the poor, to challenge others to care for the poor. And he taught us to put our needs of the poor above our own. Now, the theme of this morning is about the importance of working together as we move forward. And I'm really thankful for our partnerships with organizations like CAP, Christians Against Poverty, who are working to just eradicate poverty. Now, this is a very long-term goal, and it's a huge assignment, and it's going to take time. But we work with CAP in the ways in which they are serving the poor. But there are a lot of people out there who are in desperate need now. And we shouldn't ever lose sight of working with those who are seeking to eradicate poverty, but we also need to be aware of those who are in need around us today. And there are a lot of people in need. And we as a church, we couldn't cope with it. Even if we tried our best, we couldn't do it. It's a huge task. But we can help many meet the needs of many when we work together with like-minded organizations. So I've just mentioned CAP, and a few weeks ago I talked about working with Recon View's Community Fridge. I mean, these are great organizations who are seeking to serve the poor. And today I'd like to talk about another group that we work with, and they work really hard at ensuring that a lot of families and individuals from all across Telford can have access to food, and they do more than that. But actually, well, she's playing with my daughter at the moment, but I think I'm not going to say a whole lot. This is about Telford Crisis Support, because I'd just like to invite Erin. She's a supervisor there, and I think she would do a much better job than I ever could explaining exactly what Telford Crisis Support does and how we could better work alongside them and support them. So, Erin, if you don't mind, I'll get you a microphone. I know Braylee's just irresistible, though, isn't she? Are you all right with this?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you need a table? I can set that on. You just grab that little table there. Okay.
So, can everybody hear me okay? That's great. So, this is actually the first time in 18 months I've got to do this. So I'm a little bit nervous. And I normally do this in lots of schools. So around this time, I go out, I do assemblies in school, talk to them about the role we have within the community, and then I normally go back a couple of weeks later and collect all the harvest donations. Apart from running the food bank, we also have a school uniform project. We have a baby bank, so that can involve things like the Moses baskets, nappies, anything a parent would need in need of a crisis. We are starting the winter coat scheme soon. That one's very lucky. We're funded by the council for that. But we're mostly known for the food bank. What I've got in here is a pretty much standard three-day parcel. And the items that are often donated at harvest, and this is how we use them. So we always start... find it all now. Oh, cereal and milk are two of the things that we're always running short on, and we always try and make sure that there are beans, soup and spaghetti. Now these are lovely, but actually they go much better if we've got some bread, and we're very fortunate that Sainsbury's donate twice weekly to us, so that means that beans is beans on toast. I'm kind of rehashing what I'm going to be saying next week in assembly, so if it's a little bit, I don't say dumbing down, but I'm just trying to get my words together. Our difficulty is always trying to provide the evening meals. And what we tend to go for, instant mashed potato or tinned potatoes. The instant mash is actually really good if you've got a slightly larger family, or actually if you've only got a kettle to cook, because actually a tin of corned beef, which can be eaten cold, with some hot mash, actually then creates a meal for somebody who's in a hotel. But here we've paired it with some stewed steak. We've got our sweet corn and our vegetables. And I think, here we go, things like chili. No, find it. Chili and curry, things like these, you know, the mixed beans and the pulses. These will actually pad out and bulk out a meal. Again, particularly useful if we've got a family. Our aim is always to be able to create three evening meals. So things like pasta and pasta sauce are great, but our aim is, what do we put with those to then make it a meal? And that quite often is the problem we face. And I think, we always have some little mug shots. We are seeing an increasing number of people who are in work. So to be able to provide these, so at least they've got something then to eat while they're at work, because they may not be able to stop and have beans on toast. And again, same with a cup of soups. You can use them while you're at work, or actually if you've only got a kettle, if you're in a hotel. And I always, I think that's leaking, rice. There we go. And we believe it doesn't matter how bad the situation is. Everybody is entitled to some nice munchies. So we have the biscuits, the chocolate, which you saw earlier, and some crisps. Now, we always say, this is all great, but actually, if you've got no money for food, how do you afford to wash your hands and wipe your bum? I normally say that in front of five-year-olds. So you can imagine, that's the reaction I get. And they're going, oh, she said bum. But they remember that. And that's fine. So we get then lots of loose toilet rolls and bars of soap. But that's fine. They've remembered something I've said, because we all know at that age, very short attention span. And things like this. Obviously the shower gel. This is one of those three-in-one types. Toiletries are always a big problem for us. I think they're equally as important as the items like the stew and steak and the chili and the curry and the meatballs. Because we do see a lot of single people, but we are seeing more and more families. More requests for nappies, particularly the larger sizes. It's been a difficult 18 months, and we were really, really well supported by everybody within the community, particularly from here, with the food drives that were all taking place. And we very rarely get to do a thank you like this. Sorry. As I was saying, so it's very rare we get to do a thank you like this, where we get to come talk to you all. So thank you for all the help you've given and all the help you'll continue to give. It really does mean a lot. And I've just completely waffled for about 10 minutes. Sorry. It's been a long time since I've done this. But these are the kind of things that we need. It's the long life milk, the cereal, the main meal items, and obviously toiletries as well. I'm done waffling now.
Sharon. So did everybody get the shopping list?
I can leave this if you want.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. It's not in the way, is it, Margaret? Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. So now we have a little bit better idea of exactly what we're looking for when we do the food drive on Saturday. And two, if you can't make it from 11 to 2 on Saturday, just bring it, if you're coming here on Sunday, bring it along. We can still pop it in the parish center, and they'll come and collect it on Monday. And and actually it wasn't up to us. We weren't the ones really organizing and hosting all these food drives that have been going on. That was also us working with a community group. Oh yeah, I can take my mask off. Ah, I always forget about that. This is my favorite part. I can take it off, and I forgot. But that wasn't just like our idea and initiative. It was us working alongside a community group. And we had, I think, 7, 8 food drives. And through all that, we were able to jump a lot of food off at Telford Crisis Support. It kept Recon View going, and it helped start up another food bank out of Hadley Learning Community. So the hope and the prayer is that we'll all turn up with items like this. Don't forget the loo rolls and just all the toiletries. That stuff gets picked over fast. But we'll be able to drop a big load off to all three again. Thank you again, Aaron. Thank you for everything that you and your team have been doing. I think it's a great partnership. And let me just pray for Telford Crisis Support, and then that's it for me. So, Lord, just thank you for the compassion that you have just raised up over the past several months. People have given a lot, just sacrificially, with so much as food and all these toiletries, and we've helped some families and individuals just keep going. So thank you, Lord, for giving us that ability to do this. So Lord, I just pray that you will bless Aaron and the whole team there at Telford Crisis Support, and will you continue to just work through them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great stuff, inspiring.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a chat in a minute. If there's stuff you want to ask, put it on the comment stream. Well, so what struck you either from the readings or from what Nick or Aaron were saying, Liz?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of things that struck me from both of those, really. And one of the things Nick was saying at the beginning is that we need to take time to recognize and reflect on what's happened over the last 18 months and what we've been through. And he was saying that the Israelites must have taken time to reflect because they'd been in such a dire position in exile, and then they were going into quite a new unknown, really. They were going back to their land, but it was like a different landscape. And I think that spoke to me, thinking about, you know, sometimes we just sort of rush on and forget to kind of reflect and think what can we learn from that, and not just that, but what we've been through, and just recognize it. Mm. And then when he was talking about rebuilding, and almost like putting these kingdom principles in, and that's where the whole Telford Crisis Support and all of that came in. Like when you're rebuilding something, you want to make it strong. And it made me think of when I was a kid, and we were at this camp, we made this massive house out of shoeboxes, and every shoebox we wrote a word on or a Bible verse. And it was like we wrote all the fruits of the spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those. And then we wrote a lot of Bible verses as well, ones about justice, like defend the rights of the poor, and ones about looking to Jesus in our kind of worry, like do not worry, don't be anxious about anything. And it was just like you build a house with all of those things in the walls, and that really spoke to me doing that. It's just like I'm build my life on that, and build my life on those principles. And I don't know, that just took me back to that. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Lynn?
Well, like I said, I didn't hear that sermon until today. I started sort of in the reading I read, and excuse me, because I studied history in uni. It's very much from the Nehemiah reading. It's very much a historical sort of document. Mm. And it's reflected the times, the society, because it's very patriarchal. You know, it's son of, did this and did that. But the devil is really in the detail. It's obviously a whole community effort, you know, when all the people are named, But it didn't matter what your job was, because there are perfume makers and jewellery makers mentioned there. They're not builders. They're, you know, skilled artisans. And they, I mean, the builders. And the very last verse I wrote, it's so-and-so and his daughters. So the women were all involved. I like to think that the whole family was involved. It's just that the women don't get a mention in the record keepers because they don't count. Not back then, anyway. And it's so, but then notice as well, the men of Tekoa build a piece, but the nobles refuse to work with them. Nothing much changes there then. So those who thought they were high and mighty didn't want to get their hands dirty. But, you know, it was a sort of whole community project. Mm. As you said, it was important because it was defence, wasn't it? It was a walled city, so it was defence and it was important. Yeah. And some of them did, it's a bit NIMBY sort of, he did it opposite his house. Some of them did a whole section. So it's quite interesting, really. It's the little details that tell.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Now go on, Liz.
No, I was just thinking about what he said also about it must have given them a real sense of belonging. Mm. Having come out of that whole experience and then going into something new, but they were working on this huge project together. It must have given them all a real sense of we're in this together. Yeah. We're building on this, on these principles. We're building on good things. And yeah, I think we can learn something from that about
how if you're building a wall, it's a bit like the Lego strategy you were talking about the other week.
Yeah.
You've got to build it together. You can't build sort of little separate walls, else they'll fall down. You've got to interlock them, haven't you?
Those of you who were listening last week, and I was talking about James May's Toy Stories and the life-size Lego house, the way they did that was they got a load of volunteers to make big bricks out of Lego bricks, and then they used those big bricks to make the house. So it was hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. So I could, yes, if I'd been on it again this week, I could use the same illustration. That's the way they did it. They did it together. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that struck me, it can be challenging reading all those names, but actually, as well as the details of it was their daughters and the different professions, they were actual people. It wasn't just it was individual and almost the kind of, it's that kind of individuals that made up a community, and you can just see the people of God as a blob, the people of God. Mm-hmm. But actually, these lists of names you get in the Old Testament, they're important because, or to me anyway, it brings home the fact that they were actual individuals, like us, with slightly names that are unfamiliar to us, but pretty much like us.
Yeah.
It makes me think of like Paul's picture of the body of Christ as well, where everybody is a valued member. You know, there isn't people who are more important than the other. Whereas in that society, people would have thought that there were more important members and the weaker members weren't as worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reminds me of that as well, of all those different roles that people brought to it, and everybody having that value together and working together with that.
And I like to think that it was families as well, because I know just the men are mentioned, but often it's so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. You've got three generations there, and obviously they're all known to Nehemiah. So that's quite an extended family if they're all involved in building that bit.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen these fundraising schemes to build village halls or repair something, and people can buy a brick.
Yeah.
And have their name on the brick. Kind of a symbol of all the people who kind of contribute to making something happen. Any questions or comments from the stream there, Lynn?
Oh, sorry, I got carried away there.
No, that's all right. Reading.
Yes, I'm just scrolling back.
While Lynn's doing that, we have got this food drive on Saturday if you're local to Telford, and then we've got a Harvest Festival Sunday morning, Harvest Festival service you can drop in. If you're not local to Telford, I'm sure there's a food bank near you who would love to receive stuff around now. Or you can contribute financially online. Just drop us a message and I'll tell you how you can do that, and then we'll direct it in the right direction. So if you're local to Telford, loads of opportunities over the weekend. If you're not, still some opportunities. You just have to do a little bit of detective work yourself.
Yeah, it was good to have her in, show us what sort of things to that they need, isn't it? Because you don't always know, so that was really helpful.
Yeah.
Elizabeth says teamwork.
Yep.
This is quite true, yeah.
Yes, I have to say, when I was looking for videos for tonight, I did find lots of cheesy ones featuring rowing crews with about teamwork and things like that. I thought, no. But teamwork is really important.
Well, yeah, it's teamwork, isn't it? Working together.
Yeah.
That makes me want to sing that Wonder Pets song, but I'm not going to.
Don't go there.
Oh, yeah, you see, some people won't know what Wonder Pets is, Liz.
It's from our kids' childhood, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, painful. If anybody out there is kind of intrigued, Google Wonder Pets teamwork song and knock yourself out, but we're not doing it here. But actually, if we're talking about taking it home and talking about these things with our youngsters, actually quite a lot of, we've lost Liz, quite a lot of children's TV is around encouraging to do things like work well together. So what else can we do to help our kids engage with community stuff?
Liz Wright says there's a new artwork, Wall of Prayers, in the West Midlands.
Mm.
Oh yes, that massive project. Yeah.
Apparently.
Wall of Answered Prayer, I think.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Infinite Wisdom. Wall of Answered Prayer.
Yeah, it's like a loop.
Yeah, it's a Mobius strip, isn't it?
Mm. Interestingly, the other week I saw on the local news there was Gus Coventry's The City of Culture. They were doing this thing with all the faiths, and so there was like blue ribbons going from the mosque to the churches, and you could sort of follow the blue ribbons, and they sort of not tied them all together, but sort of it led from one to the other, which is showing what the City of Faith Coventry was, which I thought was a brilliant idea.
Mm, interesting. There's actually Telford Interfaith Council are opening a couple of premises in Wellington, which are going to be engaging in some of this community work. So we might be thinking a little bit about how we work together on some of this stuff, on some of this kingdom stuff. So that'll be interesting to see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the partnerships on the institutional level, but also how can we be looking out personally for who we can work with? Might be something to think about as we go on.
Well, they're all shameless self-advertisement here, but on the Saturday, there's an event called Harvest Local, not to be confused with what Nick was talking about. And it's in the place opposite and next to Gratitude, called Harvest Local. It's run by the outfit I volunteer for, Transition Telford.
Yeah.
There's going to be excess produce and jams and chutneys. And if anybody wants to come along and get some jams and chutneys, because they would keep. The veg will all be fresh, not tinned, but jams and chutneys would keep.
Is that this Saturday?
It is this Saturday.
So I could bring some cooking apples from the vicarage?
You could indeed. You welcome them.
Say that again, where is it?
Next to Gratitude, Creative Training Spaces.
Yeah, I know.
Just head to Gratitude and you won't go wrong.
Yeah.
Emmy says, we wrote a shopping list and then took it to the food bank. Kids love being allowed in the supermarket to do this. So there's your take it home to the kids bit.
Oh, yes.
That's a good idea. Yeah, get the kids really hands-on on it.
Yeah, I like that. But it can be a bit scary going out, being sent out by Jesus and having to work with other people and you don't necessarily know them to start with, and it's a bit kind of woo. So I thought we would have some music just to help us reflect on that and to commit in faith to doing some of this stuff. So let me just open this up. I hope this is going to work. Here we go. Yeah.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you. Grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't start now.
Upon the waters, wherever you
when oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are
Now Liz is going to lead some time of prayer. If you've got things you'd like us to pray for, then please do put them in the comments stream. Or if you're not listening live, email them in to me and we'll pray for them during the week.
Yeah.
But over to you, Liz. Yes.
Let's pray together. Let's just take a minute to just be before God. Just pause. Let's take a breath. It's just to become aware of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit breathing on us. And we say, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Let's take a couple of minutes to rejoice and to just name things before God that we're thankful for, we have gratitude for, things that we've talked about tonight, and just things that we want to say thank you for.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities we have to work with those in the Food Bank and Crisis Network. Thank you, as Nick says, thank you for the heart that you've given them to reach out and help, and that you've given us, and we can work together. Thank you for the grace we see in that, Lord. Amen. Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for your heart for justice, Father, that you want to defend the rights of the oppressed. We thank you, Lord, for who you are.
Thank you that you give us to each other. You've given each of us different gifts that complement each other, that build each other up.
We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a new thing, and help us to embrace that, Lord, and to move forward and to rebuild. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you help us rebuild even when we feel like everything is just smashed to the ground and there's nothing left. We thank you that you give us the tools and that you give us each other to rebuild and to make something even more beautiful.
We pray for Emily, Lord, that she would be able to sleep, and that you would help her with these migraine attacks. And we pray for Ali, Lord, that she would be able to sleep as well. We pray for all those in ill health, that they would be touched by you, Lord, and helped. Pray for those who are in pain, Lord, hard to live with pain. And we just pray, Lord, that you would touch us, Lord, enable us to live through it or with it. Amen.
Lord, we pray for all of those through the last 2 years who felt that things have been really, really tough in lots of different ways. And I pray that you'd help us all to have that time of reflection and that time of laying it all before you and just recognizing what we've been through and what each other have been through. And to just take that time. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rebuild together. And I pray that you'd help us to rebuild on your kingdom principles, on justice, on love, on mercy, on kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of those things, Lord, help us to rebuild into something new, into something that reflects you. And Lord, I thank you that you reminded us to remember that each one of us has value, equal value before you, and help us, Lord, to honor that among each other in the way that we work together.
Just Charlotte would like us to pray for her adopted Nana, who's just died, and for the family. I'd also like to pray for my partner James. His brother's funeral will be in about 5 weeks, and it's been a long wait getting it sorted. So I'd just like to pray for all the family. Mm-hmm.
And Father, we pray for those.
Father, you bring. Go for it.
We pray for those who are in situations where they need food banks and the crisis support. Who may be going to bed hungry tonight? Kids going to bed hungry tonight in our neighbourhoods. And I recall what that poet said at the beginning: "There is no them and us. There's just we. They are us. They're part of our community." Oh, break our hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I want to thank you for all those local initiatives that Nick talked about, for Christians Against Poverty, and for Telford Crisis, and for the community fridge as well. Thank you for all the work that they are doing, and how they are representing your heart of love to other people in the community. And I just pray for on all of those organizations, and I just pray that you'd stir hearts to give time to them and to give things to them that they need. And we just and by yielding, we say yes to rebuilding on kingdom principles and valuing and supporting one another and our family and our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. Lovely to have your company for this shift to church. Do catch up on the Facebook group. I'll place the link to that YouTube video on the Facebook group so our folk can chase it down and go and have a look at some of the others. Some real challenging ones there. And next week, actually, we're continuing to think about these kind of things because we're looking at Nehemiah and justice and community next week. So we'll keep
Great.
This kind of conversation. So if you have got emails, things you want to email about it, questions or anything, it's tim@allsaints-wellington.org. But we have now hit 9 o'clock, so it is time to go. So say goodnight, Lynn.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Bye.